this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
Ladies and gentlemen, break the knob off, crack open a beer, and since it's warm out, keep your sandals on, but take all the Freon out of your fridge to keep your pond in your backyard frozen to keep playing. This is Three in the Box. Thank you for listening to episode 40. It is the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded live Wednesday, April 9th, 2014. This is the Meat Beast, and across from me, in the home black and white jersey, is Kenny.
What up? Hey, and Josh, Freon's a no-no these days. That's why they're closing down and remodifying a lot of these rinks.
Meh. Okay, on top of that, also wearing black and white, we've got Jive to my left producing for us.
Nothing wrong with the men in black.
Hey, but we're all black and white right now. I'm also wearing the away jersey of the white and black.
Why has it got to be a color thing?
I'm saying we're wearing the away jersey, whereas we're in our home jersey of black and gray. Immediately to my right is Aaron.
What up?
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we are going to be discussing the last four games the Wild had prior to this recording. Goalie accolades, both earned new and prior, family legacies, and the last two regular season games. The life of times of J. Edna Hoover, and I mean the Frozen Four and the return of a classic rivalry, if only for a single game. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Three in the Box, also on Facebook, /3inthebox. That's the number 3 in the box, all one word.
We do some live tweeting, live snarking, and we rep for the Wild, Finnish Wild Mafia. Hashtag
yes. Finnish Wild Mafia.
I thought the hashtag is supposed to precede that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Hashtag.
I'm a few drinks in, man. Cut me some slack.
All right, now, I heard there was something, before we get into the full recap of the last four games, I heard the last game with Boston, there was a fight with a Finnish Boston fan and the hashtag of Finnish Wild Mafia.
Hockey
no.
fans are special.
He turtled. He just liked the post. He didn't respond. He turtled.
He knew he was outnumbered. And we just we threw down some percolas. I'm sure I'm slaughtering that right now.
Hey, if any of you guys are listening, send us an audio
Juka,
clip.
You know, Jarno.
Jarno.
One of you guys, you can correct us because we're probably slaughtering it. And Wild Sweet.
Yeah.
Wild Sweet, you probably don't have anything to say on that because you're, you know, Swedish and stuff.
I thought he was made an honorary member.
He was. He had to, actually.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he was rooting for the Finnish Wild Mafia more so than the Swedish House Mafia.
Brilliant. Well, thanks to all of our listeners. And yeah, we're coming up on the tail end of the season, guys. But let's get into the Wild recap. All right, so Thursday, April 3rd, Blackhawks facing them, and we were there in Chicago. We lost in a shootout, but we took it to the shootout.
But you know why?
Why?
Who was on the ice?
Oh, my God.
It's Danny Heatley.
All-star! Oh!
He's his only game in the last six, and what happens? The Wild lose. What happens in the other five? The Wild win. Coincidence?
And then you go free.
Coincidence?
Prediction on his signing for next year. I think we've already discussed that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Just strange side note with the All-Star. I went to go type him into a Google search, and Hitler popped up.
What? You're kidding me.
There might have been a little misspelling, but Hitler started popping up.
Oh, good God.
So the note takeaway from this show is that Danny Heatley is Hitler.
Holy cow, I'm looking at one of his photos. You guys got to see this. He does kind of look like Hitler youth.
He actually, you know, yeah, I saw the movie School Days, and that does look like one of the guys from School Days. I'm pretty sure.
His presence on the ice is not noted in the box scores anywhere. So you definitely still have a point valid there. Because Coyle got the goal with the first goal with an assist from Spurgeon and Suter. And Haula tied it up at the tail end with just under 2 minutes left with an assist from Fontaine of a quick one-timer. The goals coming from Chicago were Ben Smith and Brian Bickle. fun time was had by all, blah, blah, blah. The only goal to actually net during the first three of the shootout from either side was Marian Hossa.
Hossa's got our number, man. I mean,
every time. It dates back.
Him and Iginla are wild killers. Yeah. I mean, bar none. And probably Oshii now.
Oshii, definitely. So, yeah. With
Oshii's killing his own hometown, or, you know, homeland.
He's
a
traitor. Yeah. He is no longer a Minnesotan.
He's Canadian.
Oshii. If he's Finnish, he's no longer Finnish either.
He's North Dakotan.
I could agree with that.
Yeah.
I can stand by that. All right. So then moving on to the next game, of course, that was the Penguins. Right? I'm not on crack there, am I? No, that is correct. Cindy, Saturday, April 5th.
Cindy, no shot on goal.
Yes. The Wild did manage to hold the Penguins down. And some people do contribute it to the fact that Cindy Crosby never got a shot on goal. It was a 4-0 shutout. Brisglov was doing some amazing work on that. First period saw goals from Haula, Koivu, and Veju to go up 3-0 before going into the second. The only other goal was from McCormick in the second period at the six-minute mark, putting us 4-0, and then we just held on for dear life and outskated them, basically.
Yeah, and Kenny, what didn't something happen on Saturday night against the Penguins with Parisi getting some assists?
Oh, yeah. So Parisi, after that game, is now at 503. Him and his old man, J.P. Parisi.
Old man.
Old man.
Old man.
Old man.
That's what she said.
I am your father.
They they now join the Hows and the Hulls as the only father-son team to join the 500-point club.
All right. Congrats to the Parisis on that.
With that, do you think, you know, Zach's at 503, J.P.'s at 594, you think he's going to end up passing JP?
I think that's pretty much a given, right? I mean,
does the Pope shit in the woods? I think would be one of the questions I'd ask there.
I guess
does
it depends.
Do parents wear funny hats? Yes, of course they do. Therefore, yes, I think it's a given that it'll happen before the end of the playoffs this year.
All right, where do you think he's going to end up career-wise then?
7,932 goals.
In the millions.
Okay, no. I'm going to say about 700.
2015 and 2015.
2015 and 2015?
Is that what we're going at here, Josh?
Hashtag.
Nah. Hashtag.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm going to say by the end of his career, he'll have cleared the 700 mark.
If you compare him to similar players, and I think this is the
nerd
section, but if you compare him to similar players through his career, he compares very favorably to the aforementioned Marian Hossa, Alexander Semin, Theo Fleury, which all Keith Tkachuk.
So we're looking more like 800 or 900 than easy.
I mean, yeah, we're getting some guys that, you know, had some scoring prowess throughout their career, and I guess it all really depends on how many years he ends up playing, right?
Well, he's still got another, what, 8 years on his contract?
Just a couple of years left.
And he's yeah, about just a few. 8 seasons in right now, and that was missing one. So I would, you know, there's a chance he's going to slow down a little bit later in his career. But, I mean, I would like to see him hit 1,000.
I'd love to see that.
That's actually, I think, the point that I think we will see him hit is that he'll get to the 1,000-point mark. And, you know, he may not be digging around in front of the net as he moves.
He's a little older.
Moves on in age, but
he's not going to pull a Heatley.
But I think that he's definitely got some playmaking ability to go with that. So,
and actually, Keith Tkachuk, who's actually his closest comparable through that point in his career, ended at age 37 with 1,065 goal points. So, you know, really, that 1,000 isn't.
It's not out of the ballpark.
It's not out of the ballpark, and Tkachuk, you know, wasn't a point-of-game guy, but was near it, kind of like Parisi is, you know?
Now the question is when he hits 593, is his dad going to take a hockey stick to his knee so he doesn't surpass him?
Well, he is Canadian, the elder Parisi is, so You know, you can't have a minute.
I'm Canadian and I love Sager.
And on that note, speaking of Canadians.
Yes, our next game, of course, was against the Winnipeg Jets. It was a 1-0 contest that was held on Monday, April 7th. Only a single goal, and that was from Charlie Coyle. Looks like he might be making an attempt to make sure he gets signed again, eh?
Yeah, but I think the bigger story of that night was Ilya Bryzgalov.
Short out!
Yeah, well, he gets his back-to-back shutouts now in that stretch there. He's quickly winning the hearts of us Wild fans, including the hilarious reverse taunting of the Jets fans in Winnipeg. Winnipeg Jets fans are going, Ilya, Ilya. And during this, Ilya starts raising his arms saying, give it to me louder, give it to me louder.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
And, you know, what happens? He gets a win.
He gets a shutout.
He gets the shutout at that.
What I think is really great, though, is that... back when he was with Phoenix, there was all these rumors about the Coyotes moving to Winnipeg, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, but he was actually vocal about not wanting to go to Winnipeg.
Even better.
Because they have no parks in Winnipeg. And he's like, I played there a couple times in minor leagues, and you have to walk through tunnels to buildings because it's so cold out.
I remember reading this now. And yeah, that's Winnipeg the whole... That's when the whole the Winnipeg underground architecture structure was brought up.
And there's bears.
And there's bears. Yes, there
like
are
there
bears.
There aren't bears in Russia.
Apparently not.
that's exactly where I got the whole bears wear funny hats thing.
And well, that and now what does he do when he's got a bear logo on his chest during the game? So
is that a bear?
Bear cat pig
bear
man.
Cat cougar
man bear pig. Yeah,
what is it? Pig.
Thank you, South Park.
Chupacabra.
Whatever it is, it's wild, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
but a bum. Yeah, where's the rib? There we go.
Well, with all that being said, should the Wild look at trying to sign him up beyond the season? He's now 7-0-3 with the Wild. And with Backstrom and Harding both being of questionable health, Backstrom is now on his second hernia surgery in two seasons. Harding, obviously, with the MS, there's a lot of unknowns with what's going to happen with him. You know, could the Wild use a veteran netminder to pair with Kemper? And then what's the question? What do you do with Backstrom if you do sign him?
Let me just chime in on this. I think, yes, that we need to extend some sort of a deal to him. Number one, I mean, he's so far since he's been here, he's been solid in net. Now, everybody's going to have their down times. Everybody's going to have their up times. He's obviously playing very well right now.
Right.
And that looks good. But beyond that, he's got some character to him, and he brings character to the team in that. I mean, just as you were talking here in Winnipeg when he's, you know, getting the fans to raise the roof when they're taunting him or whatever, you know. I think that's, you know, that's like a good little bit of character in there. He likes to perform too, you know. That's another part of the professional sports.
And I'm going to say also on top of that, you know, you look at the Wild, and we've got stars. We got Suter, we got Koivu, we've got Parisi. But none of them have really a lot of personality.
There's no charisma there.
But there really isn't.
He really, yeah, and even with the goofballiness, like the whole humongous big, let's cue it up.
Humongous big.
All right. And all that, like, we love the fact that he's got the personality that we can kind of laugh at and identify with a little bit more.
Right.
Which is what we've always liked out of any of the play. Like, Bugard scored...
Bugard had character.
No points, but he had all the character in the world that made all the fans love him. Clutterbuck as well.
Yep.
I want to see, no offense to Clutterbuck or to Suter, I want to see Briz in a Tempstar commercial. They need to redo it.
Oh my God, that would be amazing!
Laying out a check?
Well, I don't know about laying out a check.
Oh no, let's see him do it. That would be even better.
I can picture him sitting in net, a guy going up to, no, we gotta copyright this right now. This is my idea.
Yeah. You heard it first here on Tempstar, 3 in the Box.
You're gonna own
Tempstar,
him.
We are gonna send you a link to this. You know we said it first.
Bryzgalov in net. You see the skater coming up for a shootout goal. As he goes to shoot, he slaps the puck, and the puck turns into a beach ball. Bryzgalov slaps it away and goes, Humongous beak.
All right. Now, the other one thing, the other one thing I want to tie in on that is, it is our environment here during the springtime with the different flora and fauna that we have in Minnesota, will that help cure his allergy to the puck? That's my one concern on Briz. I love seeing him in net here, but that's my biggest concern.
Where has he actually like failed at, though? He was really good in Anaheim. He was really good in Phoenix. You know where he was bad in?
Edmonton.
Edmonton and Philadelphia. Both teams that have terrible defenses.
They suck anyways.
Terrible defenses.
But he just couldn't. He can. Oh, no, no. I know who I'm thinking of. Never mind. He's been great, yes, but he hasn't. He doesn't have a ring yet, right?
He doesn't have a ring, no.
Yeah. But, and I thought it was kind of a kiss of doom, like he could play for it but never get it.
But
I know Nabokov is worse about it, but.
But I know the last couple years, you know, between Philly and Edmonton. I mean, Edmonton is well known for their lack of defense. Their defense is terrible.
Look at Scrivens. Scrivens was playing amazing in L.A.
Yeah, totally.
He goes to Edmonton, and
that's where you send goalies to die.
And God forbid anybody still had him on their fantasy team.
Oh, no doubt.
Fair enough. It was just a point I wanted
to bring up. I think that actually is a better question is, you know, are we looking at really good Brizgalov performance, or are we actually seeing great Minnesota defense performance? Because who have we had now? We've had Harding that's played great. Brizgalov's played great. Kemper's played great. Is it just chance that we have three great goalies, or is it just our defensive system is so good that we're shutting down teams? And really, aside from Backstrom, who may or may not have been dealing with the hernia issue, maybe it's just the defensive system is making our goalies that great.
I think it helps. I think we're
not
out of that.
Quite, right?
We've seen too often where our defense has folded. Where you actually watch the goalie put up a great performance, and our defense has, like, you'll see one person actually skating for our defense due to different injuries. I'm not going to name Suter. And he's been playing great every game, and there have been times where the rest of the defense has collapsed and been horrible.
I think we saw that more last year. I guess I don't see it as much this year. This year I see when we get...
I'll agree with you on that. I'm saying it's still happening, though.
When we're giving up goals this season, it's... We can't clear the zone. It's Brodziak, it's Stoner, it's Heatley. They can't get the puck past the blue line, and they get tired, and all of a sudden the goalie's flailing around trying to stop a puck.
While being, you know, screened by six different angles.
Right, because our guys aren't strong enough to actually push guys out of the lanes.
And a good breakout, though, is going to start with your defensemen. I mean, they got to make that good first pass.
Thank you.
To get it out of the zone.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. When we talk about Wild defense, we're not talking about just the blue liners. We're talking about the forwards that are down there, too, that aren't doing their part in helping clear the pucks.
The potential Selke candidates, you know, if we got Koivu. I mean, we have guys like Koivu, Parisi, Pominville, I think even, you know, Molson. They're all pretty good defensively as forwards. We've got guys, Heatley, it would be a good example of a forward that doesn't play defensively. Holla is a great example of a defensive forward.
Who's fast.
So you give him the puck, and he's a threat, especially on the PK. You know, how many shorthanded chances has he had?
Yeah.
It's just been amazing.
All right. So does that bring us to the Boston game now?
Sure, why not?
I think we've been doing an actual, a little more intense of a breakdown the previous week than we have in a long time. Last night, Tuesday, April 8th, the Wild faced the Bruins at home here. After a disappointing performance on March 17th at Boston Garden.
St. Paddy's Day,
yeah. Playing Boston in Boston on St. Pat's is not a good thing.
We'll try to not remember that one.
We will remember it and at least know that we did take it away with the win this time, even if it did go to the shootout. It was 4-3 on the final on that. Another stellar performance by Briz, as we've mentioned.
Yes, and with that win against Boston in the OT shootout, as you had mentioned, the Wild have clinched the seventh place seed in the Western Conference. So,
oh, yeah.
We're in it to win it, right, baby?
Oh, yeah.
Wild for the cup.
Yeah. So I got a question for you guys. With that win and clinching our spot now in the playoffs, it's not the last seed in the playoffs. Do you guys think Yo has maybe saved his job here? Is he going to be back next year?
I don't think he saved his job. I think he needs to do a little more in the playoffs. I think he should. I think any of the failings of this team this year aren't Yo's fault. With the exception of maybe being too happy to shuffle lines around.
Yo.
You know, he's given the talent he's given, and he can only make what he can out of that team. I think his system is solid, but, you know, if he isn't given big bodies to, you know, be able to protect on the dump and chase, there's not much he can do about that.
Why is he coaching him for a dump and chase and not having him bring it across under control?
Well, the problem is...
That is directly a coaching decision right there.
The problem is yes, I agree. You can make it so they try to possess it through the zone. But the problem is teams figure that out. What they're going to do is they're going to clog the neutral zone. And what other option do you have to do?
Play LeMaire, yeah, I know.
What other option do you have to do but, you know, dump it in and then try to chase it? And if you guys aren't strong enough, you're going to get killed every single time. So you need to be multifaceted. You need to be able to do both. Because if you don't threaten with the other, they're just gonna park their asses in the neutral zone and gobble up all the pucks.
You know, I did see him actually making some very offensive minded decisions last night, especially when it came into overtime. He started off OT playing two forwards, two D when the Wild were pretty much gaining all control in Boston's zone. He switched it up about midway through to three forwards and a D to start putting the pressure on, and I mean it worked.
And what was really even great about that game is that Boston started out with three forwards and one D, and they were just getting clobbered. They were on their heels the whole time. I mean, there was so many opportunities for the Wild in that overtime.
Ridiculous amount.
Boston also being very much a physical team that is going to play the body and force you to play jump and chase and beat you up on it.
But it wasn't even like that, though. It was the Wild were just, it was like opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. It's like Boston didn't know what was going on, really. That's the way it appeared to me.
Absolutely.
That's called a momentum switch.
Yeah. Right? It totally was. It totally was. And, you know, but beyond that, knowing hockey as it is, I think Yo deserves another season, but I think realistically he needs to get to a second round for his job to actually be protected.
And I guess I would say on this is that maybe what Yo's biggest failure is also maybe his biggest success, and that being how quick he is to, like, juggle the lines and change things.
He's got a quick hook.
He does. Now, when you look at that from one point, it's like, how are these guys ever going to get used to playing with somebody? How are they going to, you know, form together and be a cohesive unit?
But you remember his first season, we had so many injuries where that was the excuse for them losing was that we're not used to playing with these guys because we have to juggle the lineup now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's Yo almost overcorrected maybe a little.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, all you guys are going to be able to play with all of you guys. Right. And we can roll any line. It doesn't matter. You guys will know how to react with each other.
And he's not just sitting on something that's broken. If he sees something is not working, it's clearly not working out there in his eyes. I mean, at least he's not, you know, going to sit on it like the, you know, some of our other home teams here, maybe the Twins or something. He's going to juggle things around him, change it up.
I almost want to argue that as much as he has been doing kind of better, first things first, he doesn't make it to play for the Western Conference Finals, his job is lost. That's what I see happening. And I think that part of the solution that's happened over the last 2 years is the fact that Fletcher has been buying talent and getting him in here and making them want to stay. Whether that's Yo or not helping make them want to stay, the other players, the comfortable environment. But honestly, unless they're playing in the Western Conference Finals, I don't see Yo's job as being around.
I'm going to tend to agree that, and going back to, I think, what Aaron, you originally said, it's going to depend on how deep he actually makes it into the playoffs. if it's like last year where it's five games and they're out, no, I see him being gone. If he can at least make it, you know, six, seven games into the second round, I think he's still got a fighting chance of keeping his job for next season.
Hopefully by the seventh game of the second round, they'll be on their third game of the third round.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say that, what happens if we get matched up against, you know, certain teams in the playoffs, you know, and they're getting beat up, you know, how much of that onus can you put on Yo for what the team that Fletcher gave to him? If Fletcher gave him a small team and they're getting beaten up physically, you know, how much of that onus can you really put on Yo? I mean, shouldn't that blame really go back on Fletcher for not providing Yo with a team that had more physical ability?
Well, and that brings me to another question here that you guys have kind of raised. How deep do you guys really think we can go into the playoffs? I mean, regardless of who we get put up against, I mean, there's tons of possibilities. We'll get into that.
I've seen people actually argue that it's going to be the Flyers versus the Wild, and it wasn't any of us. I've heard people throwing that out there that it would be the Flyers versus the Wild this year for the Cup.
And I think given the right matchups, I think the Wild could go deeper in the playoffs. But there's potential matchups, though, I think that are going to be kill the Wild. Honestly, without knowing the matchups right now, I could say it could be anything from first round to, you know, the final round. It's tough to really say. I think they can hang with any of the teams. It's just a matter of what the matchups end up being.
I still fear for a first round with St. Louis.
Well, now that we're talking about that,
let's take a look at the potential playoff picture.
Right? Yeah. Now that we brought it up, let's see the playoff picture.
So with two games left, the Wild have obviously clinched seventh place. They're not going to be dropping to sixth or dropping to eighth, and they're not going to be moving up to sixth. So basically, they're stuck at seven. They're really, the last two games mean nothing to the Wild as far as their playoff position. However, on the other side, there are several potential number two seeds who we end up facing. That includes Anaheim, St. Louis, Colorado, and even San Jose, who's kind of a fringe at this point.
How Chicago close enough for it?
Chicago is a little bit fringy as well. I think Colorado stands the best chance of actually making that leap. Chicago's a little further out, but you know, we won't really know until the end of the season.
I got to say that the way the Wild have played Chicago this year, I wish for a first round against them. But I just don't see that happening.
I'd rather not see the Wild playing Chicago in the first round.
Honestly, the only team I'm really scared of that first round is St. Louis. The Wild just don't stack up physically against them.
Doesn't work well.
I mean, we've got one of the last two games here is St. Louis. And of the four games we've already played with them, two games have been pretty close. They've been tightly played. The Wild even got a point in a shootout, which they lost, but they got a point still. But the other two games were blowouts. Anaheim, they've been able to hang with this season. Colorado, they've been able to hang. There's been some tough games there. Chicago, again, they've also been able to hang with Chicago. And San Jose, I'm not even going to mention them because I don't think that's a real option.
Well, San Jose was only a few points down from Anaheim, so they could very easily take the Western Conference or their division and be the number two seed.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. So I would actually put them closer than Colorado for being a potential number two.
Well, probably closer than Chicago. Chicago's below Colorado even.
Are they still doing the top of each division as the number one, number two?
I think so.
Yeah, then that would mean that with San Jose only being a few points behind Anaheim, I think they're only like 2 points down with both teams having three games remaining.
Okay, fair enough. But I think San Jose is quite a few points behind Anaheim, though.
No, I think they were
3 points behind.
Three games left.
Fair enough.
I'm a bit nervous about an Anaheim matchup just due to the same reason I'm nervous about a Chicago matchup.
History.
This Anaheim eliminated us. They stopped our 2003 run. Then the following year just quashed us in the first round. and have done a good job of taking us out. I'm actually more scared of Chicago. I'm okay with Anaheim now. I think we could face them fine. I just get a little nervous. I don't want to see the Blues right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that the Blues are
that's
going to be only, a bad matchup.
We are all shaking in our boots.
The only one I'm really concerned about us winning in the first round matchup where I'm paranoid about it is St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, if I look at those five teams, I think San Jose's would be our best matchup. I think it's, you know, it's anyone's guess at this point. But I also think Colorado could be beatable as well. If I'm going to pick my two teams that would be the preferred matchups. Well,
Colorado would have to go jump ahead St. Louis, obviously.
Right. And they're close enough, I think, that they could do it. Chicago is probably a little less likely, though. You know, who knows?
Yeah. And one silly question, totally kind of off topic, still kind of on topic. At the little local watering hole that we tend to frequent, there might be a general manager who is a huge Canucks fan because he wants to root for a team that has a chance of getting the Stanley Cup. Would it be wrong to remind him that they were statistically eliminated much earlier than the playoff spots were even clinched?
It might be wrong to do that, but it's completely right to say, who just fired their GM yesterday?
Oh, nice.
And who's going to probably fire their coach next?
Yeah.
And what's the only Canadian team to make it into the playoffs this year? Montreal Canadiens. This is the first time in 41 years that only one Canadian team has made it into the NHL playoffs. The
41 years?
Last time was in 1973.
Wow. That's getting awfully close to our original six, first expansion territory there.
Real close.
That's older than me.
And Jive's ancient.
I am.
Well, and on top of that, I've always said I really would love to see the Habs versus the Wild, just cause it would suck. Cause I'll always root for the Wild, but out of the East, I'll root for the Habs. So that would be a pleasant one to see them actually go deep as well. I would like to see that series played out.
One of these years, I'd like to see an All-American NHL playoff.
I want to see one that's All-American Sun Belt teams.
Oh.
Wait, huh? You just went against so many things
and
we've said.
Just dropped for the
so many
NHL,
things
right?
We've said politically about Southern. If you can't have natural ice, if you can't hold the Winter Classic, you should not have a hockey team.
Is there?
Oh my God!
That's
that was
what the arena will be like.
Oh, it hurts. Okay.
So do we have anything else to talk about playoff-wise, potential playoff matchup-wise?
I don't know. I mean, I mean, really, we all obviously have agreed we don't want to see St. Louis.
Yeah.
At least not in the first round. Let us get ahead of steam.
Let's just do a quick round. Kenny, who do you want to face in the first round?
I would like to see San Jose, preferably Colorado, but I got a feeling it's going to be out of the three major ones that we could potentially play against, I think I'd rather see San Jose first round.
Jive.
I would have to pick Colorado just because I think that we match up probably best against them. I doubt that it's going to end up like that. So my prediction is that we will face Anaheim. But I'm thinking that we can at least give it a run for the money.
Me beast.
I'm going to have to actually go against something I said earlier and say I do want to face Anaheim in the first round just so I can get past my own paranoid, superstitious crap.
It's like the Twins facing the Yankees in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
They always have our number.
Always.
This is going to be our year.
Yeah, exactly. And to get past that, I almost am looking forward to that actually being the matchup, and there's only a couple of games left to help decide who's playing who. So,
I'll lay it on the line. I'll go with I'm hoping for Colorado. I don't know that's going to happen, but that's what I'm going to hope for.
All right.
So moving on.
Harden got nominated for the Masterson again.
Yeah. Again.
Again.
He's been out the last half of the season.
Again.
Right.
And yeah, I think he probably deserves a nod of the hat personally, but it usually goes to players who have overcome injuries and have had great comebacks. Is Harding really a good choice? What about Ryzgalov? I mean, he's come back.
I think the key thing here that you said is come back.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that from Harding as of yet.
Not this season.
I still hold hope. I still am holding hope that he's going to come back in one of the next couple games.
Well, and you actually, you almost have to hope that because we still haven't heard anything really, any real news on Kemper. And do we really trust Curry being the one sole lone backup to Briz?
Oh, we know about Kemper. He has an upper body injury. That's descriptive, isn't it?
So does Granlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both have upper body injuries.
Right. They have broken hearts. Their girlfriends left them.
What accent was that?
I have no idea.
Here's my thoughts on that. You're not going to want to...
I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
You're not going to want to put Harding back in the last, two games that are left.
Why not?
You're going to want
They don't count for the Wild.
They don't, but on that same token, you're going to want to rest some of your other players a little bit more, so do you really want to put Harding out there without a top-notch squad?
Yes, we've already discussed this. We want St. Louis to win, right?
Wow. Way to bring him up as you come back. Hey, Harding, guess what? Blow this game for us.
Could you just let a couple by?
Well, so speaking of that, you got to figure then Curry's going to get at least a start in here, right?
Yeah.
Let Curry get some
gameplay.
It's either that or he's going to get injured and they're going to pull up Laurie again. And we'll see Laurie dressed for a playoff game. Not necessarily skating, but dressed.
Put Curry in against St. Louis. We need the loss for it from our theoretical standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although if we end up beating St. Louis and they continue on their downward streak, Colorado comes up, we could be playing Colorado instead of Anaheim.
Which would bring it back to an old divisional rivalry, which would kind of be nice. Bringing it back to 2003, isn't that who we faced first in 2003?
The Nordiques?
No, second.
Second? Okay, I couldn't remember if we faced the Avalanche first or Vancouver first.
Vancouver first, because that's when Bertuzzi was
John.
Yeah.
And Vancouver was number one that year.
Speaking of money had fallen. Just bringing up Bertuzzi with playoffs, Red Wings barely made it in.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
In what, 23 years?
Hey, they barely made it in last year too, so they're clinging by, man.
They still haven't clinched a playoff spot, so they could still potentially get knocked out. Last I saw,
I thought they had clinched one by now.
No, that whole division is pretty grim right now. I mean, there's a lot of ifs, ands, thens, buts, we'll sees.
Sure,
what kind of programming language is that, man?
Good God, it's like you don't have a microphone in front. Oh, sorry.
No, wrong programming.
Yeah, they still have not clinched yet.
Okay.
They're right on the cusp. They are currently sitting in fourth place in their division, though.
Okay.
Or their conference, sorry, overall in the conference. Yeah. So, in theory, they should have clinched.
They're sitting pretty good. They're 5 points over the... ninth place.
They're more than likely going to make it in.
Six right. points over. And yeah,
six
let's
points,
face
sorry,
it,
yeah.
Buffalo is still looking like they might make it in.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Buffalo's really? Currently no? still sitting on the line, I thought.
Oh, no.
No. Buffalo's... Sorry. Never mind. I'm looking at the wrong page.
Yeah, they're sitting wrong on page. The line and giving away the rest of their team.
Yeah, Detroit has not clinched, and actually they're sitting down much farther
no,
than
the
I
only line
at.
They're
I was
sitting
like,
on
divisional,
is
not conference. Sorry.
Bottom line. Literally.
Yeah, Buffalo's.
Yeah, Buffalo is the bottom of the barrel this year, aren't they? Holy Hannah!
That's your favorite team?
No.
Okay, but you brought up that Brizgalov. I mean, you look at him. Yeah. He played in the KHL this year.
Yeah,
that's how dead his career was, and now he's hasn't lost in regulation.
Now, and he's bringing a team to the Stanley Cup. I mean.
Well, to the cop!
Humangas big.
You know, I mean...
I tell you what. I mean, I don't know if you call that a comeback story, but it's... I mean, it's definitely a story of its own. I don't know if it warrants the Masterton, but...
or a nomination for it.
or a nomination.
But do you want to? But do you want to nominate the same guy 2 years in a row, though?
That's, you know, and I'm and
how much
I'm
of it? How much
I'm
of it is pity at that point? You know,
I'm not in agreement that yeah, necessarily it should be Harding then either.
Well, on the Briz thing, I was gonna say, don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years.
He's been
man.
Here for years.
But he's just minuscule.
All right, should we go over to the injury report then?
Yeah, so
the injury update, I should say.
Speaking of Harding has been feeling better. He joined the team in Chicago on April 3rd. Still no timetable for his return. Zucker Backstrom basically out for the season. Ballard has been out of the lineup since March 20th with a lower body injury. Stoner.
Ballard's also been skating with the team, though.
Yeah, this is true. Kemper, Granlund, still day-to-day. I don't see either one coming back until playoffs, personally. Thoughts on those two?
There's no reason to start them or play them at this point. You know, honestly, over these next two games, we're probably going to see, like, you know, 20, maybe 15-minute games from, like, Suter, you know?
I don't know. Can Suter, I mean, that's like putting a live engineer in a recording booth. Is he going to have the attention span to sit on the bench for that much time?
Oh, nerds!
I don't know if he will.
Well,
I mean, to see him bouncing around, like, put me in, coach.
But you have to figure we're going to see guys like, you know, we're going to see all the guys that are normally scratch playing, give them time to play. Rest the guys that we've got.
So we're going to see a lot of Danny Heatley, you're saying?
A lot of Heatley.
Name.
I bet you we're going to see Heatley. We're going to see Rupp. We're going to see the Swedish kid that we just signed.
Oh, Frölén.
Frölén, sorry. Yep, we're going to see him. So why not, you know, give guys like Spurgeon. Spurgeon just took a high stick last night and did not look very well after the stick. Parisi, he took a puck to the face last night. We'll let these guys rest for two games. They don't mean anything to us. No. Anything.
See, the problem is if you rest Suter, he's going to end up going out. He'll get off the ice, run right outside the arena, and go play a game of softball in between needing to be back on the ice, and then he'll miss his next shift.
I do agree.
You can't hold that kid down. He's just going to keep running.
He doesn't run. He glides. Have you seen him skate? He hardly moves his leg. He just is in one place and then in the other.
I'm maybe, saying he'll take the blades off and go play softball in between shifts on the ice just because.
He's Casper the Friendly D-Man.
Oh, brilliant, lovely.
I think that's a show title right there.
Yeah. Although I do agree, you know, Frölén has an opportunity to play in two NHL games this season. That's it. He's not eligible for playoffs. Put him in, see how he plays.
Yep. Wisest decision out of that. Well, hopefully Yo makes that decision.
I mean, you got to rest guys while you got them. I mean, no doubt.
So we did kind of cover this, but are we really still in a tough spot for goalies?
I think that we are. I mean,
I think so.
Really, we're one more injury away from like being up a creek without a paddle. Really,
we've been in that position about three times this year.
Which is why I'm saying we're no better off now than we were
then. Not even this
year,
last year too. I mean, yeah. That's what happened in the playoffs.
This used to be something we never had to worry about because the AHL affiliate or the IHL affiliate, once we had that tied in as well, we always were known as being a goalie farm.
Yeah, and then we started trading them away.
We have the best goalies around. Now we've got better offense. Yeah. But we don't have the depth in the goalie.
I mean, it's going to be an issue. I mean, We're going to have to hope that Kemper somehow comes back or Harding is all of a sudden healthy enough to earn. I think everyone's saying he's healthy enough. It's just that he's not in hockey shape. And we got to hope that he's going to be in hockey shape in time for the season to, you know, postseason to start. I don't know if that's going to happen, though.
It'll be tough.
Well, we'll cross our fingers.
So, yeah, speaking of the last few games of the season.
Yeah, we got the Blues here. Both games are at home, and we got the Blues on Thursday and then tomorrow night, more appropriately, and the Predators on Sunday. And that's it for the regular season. Good thing we already clinched our playoff spot.
Which means that you'll get more 3 in the box.
Oh, God. 3 weeks of it'll be just sans meat.
Just let me
beast,
throw
though.
A little spot in there for that.
Yeah, good job. Good job on that.
We'll
that should
have
been me holding that torch. And unfortunately, I'll be out for the first 3 weeks. So hopefully, the playoffs we do go deep in.
So you're hoping the Wild can play
That's
very
what
well.
She said.
On both those statements, though, that's what she said first.
Oh,
all right. Okay.
Hockey fans are special.
Are we ready to go into Game of the Week? All right, so last week's Game of the Week was Wild at Blackhawks, which we discussed was a loss in overtime, 3-2. Being
way to
the
go,
sole,
turncoat.
Yeah, the sole turncoat last week that rooted for the Blackhawks, or said the Blackhawks would win. You
yeah,
weren't
don't,
rooting
don't,
for
don't
them.
Confuse rooting sorry. As predictions.
Sorry, sorry. Your prediction was that they would win.
I actually
picked the score proper.
Yeah, I didn't just predict they'd win. I predict they'd win 3-2, and they did. I just like to point that out. That also moves me into first place on the
solely.
Season. Solely.
Are
possession?
You gloating yeah. now, too?
Totally.
But you expected anything less.
Stupid, that, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
That leaves me at 12 points with Jive behind me at 10, and then Kenny and the Meat Beast at 8, way behind.
We're resetting for playoffs,
what,
right?
We're two games we're two games behind you and one game behind Jive. This was almost a four-way tie for the season.
We don't have much time left, though.
Not much season left, yep.
You're going to have to hope for your deep playoffs to...
yeah, to actually happen.
Yeah.
I'm already That's hoping for that anyway. Let's see. You get to pick the game of the week then, sir?
Yeah, and since both the Wild games are not going to count at all in the Wild standings, I'm going to flip the script and go Gophers versus UND.
Nice. Oh, boy. I like it. I approve.
Oh,
well,
and
with the great history on that this season, we will definitely be able to easily choose a winner.
I know. They played each other. They played each other, what?
Zero times.
Zero times.
Zero times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Easy to predict here.
All right. I want to say I was the overall loser last week because of the score I had picked.
You were the big loser, yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to say 4-3 Gophers.
4-3 Gophers.
Yeah, Gophers are winning 4-3 against Nodak in the Frozen Four semis. What do you say, Kenny?
You know, Gophers have been scoring big in the playoffs so far this year. I don't think they're going to play as big as the 7 points or a 4-0 blowout, but I'm going to go with 5-3 Gophers.
All right, Jive.
And obviously, you guys have not learned a thing. If you guys just watch the history of
college hockey, because we voted on a lot of that this year,
it doesn't matter about college hockey. It's the history of our game of the week.
It's always 3-2.
It's always 3-2. So if you choose that, you win. And you guys have left that wide open for me. So I'm going to go ahead.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God. Why do we even have that sample? It's the worst joke ever.
But it's all about timing.
Since you guys left it there for me, though, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Gophers because I'm a homer. I'm going to take them winning 3-2.
And to complete the homer sweep, I'm also going with the Gophers. And I think it's going to be, you know, like Kenny was saying, it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I'm going to go 5-4 because, you know, it's not going to be 3-2 or 4-3. So why not 5-4, right?
It's going to be 4-3. All right. Do we want to talk about that matchup coming up? That's tomorrow, correct?
That Thursday? Is tomorrow. I know we kind of briefly touched on that last week.
Oh, wait. For our listeners on Cyanet Radio, it's happening while you're listening to us. You should be watching the Gopher game, dumbasses.
Or the Wild game.
Or the Wild game, yeah.
Or both at the same time.
Or both at the same time. But
while listening
the
to Three in the Box.
That's talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to Three in the Box, picture in picture.
And just jump back and forth as the period breaks happen.
You don't
beer in hand.
You don't want to listen to the Wild broadcast. It's on NBC.
One hand on the laptop
shut up here.
For the Twitter feed.
Yep. One hand on Twitter. Another hand in a bowl of Cheetos.
You need three screens. You need a computer screen. You need a Gopher feed screen. And you need a Wild feed screen.
And you need your Twitter up on your phone.
Yeah, that's the third screen.
Fair enough. and you need a straw for your beer if you got the Cheetos and you're typing with one hand.
You don't have to type. You just have to watch.
You get one of those beer hats.
The beer helmet.
Oh, yeah. The see, there you go.
Or the beer belly.
Oh, the beer belly.
the cantina you strap to your gut.
Nothing says, like warm beer.
Tepid beer.
What about the all-important whiskey tits?
Oh,
I thought it was the wine rack.
Oh, it was the wine rack.
Is also, I've seen both the whiskey tits and the wine rack.
Nice.
But... that being said, also, what's your biggest fears for the Gophers here in the semifinal, finally getting to face an old-school rivalry in the Fighting Sioux, or NODAC, as sometimes they are?
My biggest fear is that they lose.
I was going to say losing.
Okay.
Contestant number three.
Your second biggest fear. What is
my
your...
second biggest fear is that they lose 3-4.
Never mind.
My second biggest fear is that they win, but the score is not 5-3.
Well, I love the fact that you guys actually have opinions you thought out about what you want to see out of this game.
It wasn't in the notes. I wasn't ready to prepare.
I can't think on the fly.
Sometimes we ask questions that aren't in the notes. We did good at this earlier in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Do I have to turn this show around, kids? All right, no. To be fair, my biggest fear is that with all the signings from the last couple of years that have happened out of the Gophers squad, that and also them now being in the Big Ten as opposed to the WCHA, they might have lost the heat of that rivalry, and we know NODAC hasn't.
We've got the best rookie class or freshman class in the NCAA. I'm not worried.
I that would be my biggest concern, though, is that they don't have the heat under them right now, since they didn't have to face them at all this year.
Well,
NODAC, that being the only game in Grand Forks, they're looking at it going, all right, it's the Gophers. Come on.
You know, there is that small fear. NODAC has been known to be a physical team, that they rough them up enough and then they lose to BC for the championship game.
That's funny. I actually like that one. Do I have anything?
No comment.
All right. That probably brings us to the end of the show, doesn't it?
I think so, actually.
Sweet. Well, of course, as always, thank you very much for listening. This is the Me Beast. Aaron?
Yeah, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, that's at Three in the Box on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at AaronGNP. And you can check out my band. It's me, Kenny, and Jive. And we are Pinrot, and you can find us at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And you can follow me at RottenK999, usually also at 3inthebox.com with Aaron in tow. Both of us just kind of putting up random comments and, you know, trying to speak Finn. Perkele.
Perkele.
Perkele. Perkele.
You got to have the R on the Perkele.
God, one of those guys really has to send us a soundbite. Please, Juka, Jarno, someone.
We're going off of Wikipedia here on how to curse and finish. This is a bad sign.
The American version of Wikipedia.
Right. Which is like one step better than Son Bing Translate.
Oh.
And no, Wild Swede, we do not use Bing Translate. We use the TweetDeck.
Which uses Bing Translate.
Oh, crap.
Son of a...
Jive.
Yeah, and I'm Jive, and once in a while when I cut the chains loose and the wife lets me out of the house, I hang out with these losers. These guys aren't losers. These are some pretty cool cats. But anyways, if you want to follow me and all of that I do, you can follow me. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter. Just, you know, do it because you feel sorry for me. The San Francisco treat. Good night.
Wow, what a callback. Thank you very much for listening, folks. This has been Three in the Box.